Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Nun Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Markings system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We turn to the fifth line from the top of Daf Nun Aleph. We started a discussion by featuring a Tanaic source at the end of our previous shiur concerning a needle that had penetrated the base hakosos. In the source that we saw, a distinction was made between a case of the needle penetrating just one of the two walls that form the base hakosos, one of the stomach sections of the animal, as opposed to a case where the needle totally penetrated. Another very interesting point was made in that source, and that was that if the needle has blood clinging to it, that's a sign that the hole was formed, the penetration took place before the shechita, and it would be a trefa. If, however, you open up an animal's stomach and you find that the needle is penetrating the base hakosos wall, but there's no blood clinging to the needle, that's a sign that the needle penetration took place after the shechita. And hence, while the animal was alive, it was not a trefa. So we can say that we have a sort of leniency here by applying, we'll call it this, call it the blood test, for lack of better expression. The blood being there on the needle, sign of problem. No blood on the needle, so it's a sign that the hole took place after it was shechted. So now the Gemara asks, Umay Shno, fifth line from the top, Umay Shno Mikol Nekuvid Almo, what is different about this case than all other cases of holes? Diafagav Delek Odam Torif Mor. In all other cases of Trefus, we have said that even if there's no blood, the fact that there is a hole in one of these crucial organs, that's a sign of Trefus. And this is the first time that we're seeing a distinction made regarding with blood, yes problem, no blood, no problem. In general, even if there's no blood, we say there is a trefus problem. The Gemara answers, Hossam, in all those other cases, Leko midi lemisrach, there is nothing for the blood to cling unto, lemisrach, to cling unto. Hocha, in this case with the needle, kivon deiko machat, since there is a needle, if the hole had been formed before the animal was slaughtered, in other words, while it was still alive, misrach havisarach, the blood for that was caused to flow because of the puncture, the penetration, should have clung unto the needle. And since we have a needle, something for the blood to cling unto, and there is no blood, that's a sign that the hole took place, that the penetration took place after it was already shechted. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a long marking that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and we've called it a Maisa. There is an incident that follows, and it lasts all of the lines that of Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line. Amalei Rav Safra Labaye. Rav Safra tells a story to Abaye, mentions to Abaye, Chozi Mor Hai Tzum Rabbonon. Did you notice this Talmud Chochem, Tzur Rabbonon Torah scholar, young Torah scholar, the Oso Mima Rovo, the Omar, he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bovel, where Rav Safra and Abaye were located, and he said the following. Rav Avira Shamani, we mentioned Tzur Rabbonon is an expression that you find in other Gemaras, and Rashi elsewhere refers to it as a young Talmud Chochem. In this particular Gemara, I'm not sure that the person featured or described as Tzum Rabbanan is necessarily a young individual. As we will see, as we go on in the Gemara, why we question that. So anyway, a Torah scholar, certainly he is. He came from, this person in question came from Eretz Yisrael, the Omar. And he is, and he says, Rav Avira Shemani, my name, Shemani is Shem Shali. Rav Avira is my name. The Omar, and he said, Maisa Ubo Lefnei Rebbe, an incident came to the attention of Rebbe. Rebbe is Rebbe Yehuda Hanossi. And the, what was the case? Machat Shinimtsa Bovi Beis HaKosos Mitzad Echod V'Tarfa, a case of a needle partially penetrating the wall of the Beis HaKosos. As we mentioned earlier, and certainly in our previous shiur, the Beis HaKosos is a double-walled organ. So the case featured here that came to Rebbe was a needle was penetrating just one of the two walls, and Rebbe declared it a trefa. Now that in and of itself is rather eyebrow-raising. It's contrary to what we saw in our source that concluded our previous shiur. So this also arouses Abaye's curiosity. Shalach le, Abaye sent for him, sent for Rav Avira. Come, I want to hear about this. Lo osa legabe, and Rav Avira did not come. Ozal hu legabe. So Abaye went to him. Have koi a igra. Rabbi Avira was on, igra is a roof, on a rooftop or upper story. Omar nechus mar v'nesi. Abaye addresses Rabbi Avira and says, come down. Lo nochis, he did not descend. Solikul legabe. So Abaye troubled himself and went up to the roof. Omar le, Abaye said, emoli gufa di uvda hechi have. He says, Abaye asks of Rav Avira, would you kindly tell me what exactly was the incident that you referred to? Omar le. Now, for this, you'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a tuf that's encircled. Tuf is a teretz, a tshuva, a response. So this is a response. It's a, we call this a long response, and hence we've used this marking. So Omar le, Rav Avira says to Abaye, Maftir kneseus ano li elo mi Rebbe Rabo. I had a job. Maftir kneseus, Rashi says, Machnis umotzi tamidim umasvom umamidom lelech lebeis hamedrash. I was in charge of the goings and comings of the students regarding their comings and goings to the beis medrash, to the study hall. And I had this position in the presence or in the time of Rebbe Rabba. Rebbe Rabba is Rebbe Yehuda Hanossi. This man must have been very, very old because historically the time frame between Rebbe Yehuda Hanossi and Abaye was safely said a couple of hundred years. So if he was functioning as a some type of official in the time of Rebbe, and here he's having a conversation with Abaye, that would indicate his extreme age. And he goes on to say, "V'havi Rav Huna Tzipora v'Rav Yosi Mada Yoshvin Lefonov." Rav Huna from Tzipori and Rav Yosi from Modai were sitting in front of him. Ubas Lefonai Rebbe. And Obas Lefnei Rebbe, and there a case came to Rebbe in front of Rebbe, the case of Machat Shinimsa Buvi Beis HaKosos Mitzad Echad, a case where it appeared that the needle made only a partial penetration. However, the Hofcha Rebbe, Rebbe flipped over the organ, the Beis HaKosos, to the other side, the side opposite where the needle went in. Umatzalah Kurt Dam, and he found a little speckle of blood on the opposite side of where the needle had penetrated. The tarfa, and he declared it a trefa. The Omar, and Rebbe had announced, Im ein shom maka kurt dam minayin, if there wasn't an actual injury or penetration over there, then where would the blood have come from? So Rebbe is telling us basically that this needle had really, really penetrated the Beis HaKosos through and through. Well, upon hearing that revelation, Abaye reacts, Omar le, Torach, Tariach, Lahu Gavra. I really came here for nothing. In order to hear that story, that is Masnis and He. That's already featured in a Tanaic source, in our Mishnah. It says, Hemsis ubeis ha-koisa shenikvu lachutz. Those are trephas. Hemsis is one part of the stomach apparatus of the animal, and the beis ha-koisa is what we are focusing on right now. If you have a needle that penetrated a beis ha-koisa to the outside, namely through and through, that's a trepha. And all that you have described is essentially that case. So I had to trouble myself to hear all of that. That's pretty obvious. So that was Abaye's response. But what you see a very interesting between the lines in this Gemara is that oftentimes a person hears something quoted by someone else, and in this case Rav Avira was quoted as having said that Rebbe declared trefa a partial needle penetration, and that is a rather amazing thing to say, meaning it's inaccurate. Abaye was very curious to hear more about it because of this seeming inaccuracy, so he took matters into hand and researched it further, and in fact discovered that which was said to him in a quote form, when you check it out with the original source, it really wasn't so. Continuing in the Gemara, Nafla min Hagag. Our Mishnah described as a problem, an animal that falls off a roof. And regarding such a case, there arises a suspicion that maybe the animal experienced shock. And that's pretty much the problem of Nafla min Hagag. Rashi on the Mishnah, on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, speaks about an animal that fell off a roof and he shechted it immediately, slaughtered immediately. That would be a trefa. And this is declared a trefa even if you don't find anything wrong on its insides. And as we mentioned, that's because of something called Risuk Evorim, a phenomenon that might be explained as a shock to the organs, and that itself could result in the animal dying. In the case of Nofla Min Hagag that Rashi describes on the Mishnah, he didn't leave it around. He didn't leave the animal around for 24 hours, which one should have done, but shechted immediately, and that is a problem. That's called Risuk Evorim. So our Gemara continues regarding this topic of Risuk Evorim, and this is what we've entitled this sugya as well, as you can see under the Nosei heading in the outside margin. In fact, we can say that this topic of Risuk Evorim will preoccupy the Gemara for the balance of today's shiur, for the balance of Daf Nun Aleph. Omar Rav Huna, Hiniach Behemo Lamala, Ubo Umotsu Lamata. If a person had left an animal on a high point, on a roof, that's what Rashi explains, Bagag, and later came and found the animal down on the ground. Nothing, as far as the Gemara is concerned, nothing looks unusual with regard to the animal. All that happens, it changed its position from before it was on the roof, and now you find it on the floor, meaning on ground level. Ein choshishin mishum risuke evorim. One does not have to concern himself or worry about that the animal experienced a fall and hence a shock. Rashi explains, Ein choshishin, Rashi across from here says, Hoyo volo reinua shenafu, we didn't see it fall. Ein choshishin shemen esrasku evorim. We don't have to take into consideration that on its way down to the ground level that it experienced organ shock, at which would lahashosa meis leis kedin nefula urisuka sevorim, that would have otherwise mandated waiting 24 hours, as is the halacha with regard to animals that experienced shock. Deamrinon b'masnisin gabi oif im shuasa meis leis v'shachato kshera u'bekoifetzis meila lo chayshin lahochi. With regard to animals that jump on their own from rooftops, we don't have to worry about that. So all that Rav Huna is describing is a case of an animal that I originally left it on the roof and I found it later standing on the ground. We have diamonds that appear here and a few lines later. These are explained in the outside margin. Maisim bevehemos, cases of animals, she olah bahem chashash lerisuk evorim v'chadome, that there is a reason to consider maybe there is risuk evorim in these cases, and we'll see more as we go on in the Gemara. Hahu gadyo dehavele leravino, gdi is a goat that was owned by Ravina, or that Ravina had, the Chaza Chushla Beipuma. Chushla, we'll refer to it as a type of animal feed, something that animals eat, and he saw it through a skylight, Ipuma, a skylight that led down into a house. So we have an animal, this goat that's on a roof, and it looks down through a hole in the roof, and notices on the floor of the house, over which this skylight is located, he notices food. Dogar, the animal jumped, nofal meigro la'ara, and fell from the roof to the floor. Asio lekamei the Ravashi. The case came to Ravashi. Omarle, now here we have a long question. So it seems that Ravina is bringing his animal to Ravashi, and together with that, he raises a question. Amale, ha di amar Rav Huna, that which Rav Huna said, hiniach meima lamalo ubo motza lamata, in choshishim shim risuke vorim. This we saw just a few lines ago where Rav Huna's name was underlined. That which Rav Huna said, that if you leave an animal on a rooftop and find it later on the floor, on ground level, you don't have to worry. Now, why is it that you don't have to worry? So we've in our markings now used an aleph, and next line you see a swillon and oidomo, and then beis, two sides of why he may not have been choshesh, worried, concerned himself with organ shock. So the first side is mishum deis lo midi lemisrach. In the case of an outside rooftop, and then being found on ground level, as the animal, let's say, tried to make its way downwards, it had something to grab onto. In other words, the side of the house, or the side of the roof. It was able to grab onto that, so to speak, and hence lessen the impact on its way down. V'hai, the case at hand with the skylight, less lay midi lemisrach. It's simply a hole in the roof, and on its way down, it doesn't have, there's no wall that it can scamper down, so to speak, or try to ease its fall from that point. So since here there is nothing for it to grab onto, so to speak, this case would be a problem. It's not like the Rav Huna case. Oy Dilma, Mishum de Omdonavsha. Or it could be that Rav Huna said his din of an animal left above and found below, it's okay, and you don't choshesh, it's simply because the animal is assumed to have made a calculation or an estimation of its abilities. And if it jumped, it jumped with certainty that it would be all right. V'hai nami, so to our goat in this Ravino case with the food on the floor, omdo nafsha, it also calculated that it could make the jump without injuring itself. So that's the question. Is the heter of Rav Huna because of something external, an external physicality, namely the side of the building that it was able to scamper down or slow its fall by grabbing onto that, so to speak? Or is Rav Huna the heter by Rav Huna simply because of the animal's natural capability of making a jump judgment that it would be able to make it? Amale, Rav Ashi answers, Mishum de omdo nafsha, the heter of Rav Huna is because of the animal's innate ability to make calculations regarding its abilities to jump. V'hai nami omdo nafsha, and the case involving the skylight also, the animal made a calculation, an innate ability that the animal has to calculate whether it can make a safe jump. So just like in Rav Huna's case, it was rendered kosher, it was viewed as kosher, so too in our case as well, and there's no chashash of risuk evarim as far as the Ravina goat case. Hahi imrasa, dahave be Rav Chaviva, there was an imrasa sheep in the home of Rav Chaviva, dahavu shadron kare basraisa, as it walked, it dragged its hind legs. This is a sign of something wrong. An animal should walk normally. Here it was dragging its hind legs. The Tosfos adds over here that we're not talking about a case of something having fallen. Simply an animal that, on its normal day-to-day living, dragged its hind feet. Omar Rav Yemar, hai shigruna nakte. This is a medical phenomenon called shigruna, or possibly a leg cramp, and hence it's not a trefa problem. Maskif lo Ravina. Ravina raises an objection or a question. He says, "Vedilma chud hashedra ifsik." The animal is dragging his legs maybe because it has a severed spinal cord, and a severed spinal cord is one of the examples of trefus. They eventually checked out this animal and they found that it in fact had a severed spinal cord. And nevertheless, the halacha will remain like Rav Yemar, which means that if you have an animal that was dragging hind legs and you didn't do any additional checking to it, the animal would be okay. If you happen to check and found a problem, so you have to reckon with the fact that there's a problem and it's forbidden. But to go out of your way to check for the problem, that you don't have to do. And the dragging of hind legs does not show a trefus problem. And the Gemara goes on to explain why we say thusly, shigruna shchiach. It's common to have animals suffering from shigruna. Chut hashedra lo shchiach, but severed spinal cords is uncommon. And therefore, if you have shigruna, and you can say it's because of this or because of that, if I'm attributing it to something that's of the more common nature, that is sufficient for reaching conclusions. So it's more common for an animal to drag its legs because of shigruna than because of a severed spinal cord. As a result of what we just said, an animal whose hind legs are dragging, after it's shechted, it does not need to be checked. Omar Rav Huna, Zechorim HaMenachim Zeh. Before we go any further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin. These are Behemos Zechorim, male animals that are rather feisty, HaMenachim Zeetze, and they are goring each other. Mosai Yesh Lachshosh Mishum Risuk Evarim. When would one have to say that maybe here there's a problem of Risuk Evarim? And we'll see another issue. Behemos Shenignivu, animals that were stolen. The Toch Kedei HaGneva Oy Chazorosan Nizrokim. While they're being stolen or being returned, the animals are thrown. A little later, the Gemara will describe a case of behema shiko al gaba liorka b'makel, an animal that was given a blown by a stick that ran along the length of the animal, so that the stick was going to, in this case, hit the behema. The stick was used to hit a behema in its length, right down its back. That too will be have to be analyzed as being is there a risuk evorim problem. So we turn back to our second diamond, hi imrisa, an imrisa is a sheep, dava be Rav Chaviva, that was in the home or the yeshiva of Rav Chaviva, davush. We don't have to read that second diamond again. That's a mistake. Let's jump forward to the. To the point in the Gemara where we have a period, a middle of line, Omar Rav Huna, Zechorim HaMenachim Ze'ezeh. Ein choshishin mishum risuke yevorim. Animals, male animals that have a tendency to fight with one another, to butt each other with their horns. That's menachim. Nogach is to gore, or to use its horns in combat. Say, ein choshishin mishum risuke yevorim. One does not have to worry that after these animals engaged in this type of head-butting, that it experienced risuke yevorim. Afal gav de midvu v'kaimi. Even though these animals are groaning with pain. Simro be'alma hu de nokat luhu. This is just a manifestation of some type of heat that has taken hold of the animals, and hence they are reacting thusly. Inofula ara. If in the course of this fighting, one of the animals was thrown to the ground or fell to the ground. Vadai chayshinon. Then we certainly would concern ourselves with a problem of risuke vorem and all that that entails. Amar Rav Menashe, hani dichri, dichri are rams, the ganvi ganvi, that are stolen, ein choshishin mishum risuke vorem. Now, as they're being stolen, the ganovim will, the thieves, will enter a fenced area, take these animals, and then throw them over a fence. And as they fall, so our Gemara is telling us, you do not have to worry that as a result of the fall, the animal experienced risuk evorim, the shock to its organs. My taima, why don't you have to worry about risuk evorim? Answer, ki shodi lehu, when the thieves throw the animals, amosnayu shodu lehu, ki hechi delirhatu komayu. They position the animal so that when it falls, it shall land on its posterior area. Mosnayim are generally thought to be the midsection or the possible posterior of the animal, and or the land on its hips, and that type of fall is the animal's position in such a way so that the animal will get up and run. So such a fall, such a landing, we'll say, landing on its mosnayim, on its hips, does not cause risuke vorem in the first place. It's done that way specifically with the intent that the animals will run from the site of where they were stolen from. Ahadrinu vadai chayshinon. However, if the thieves, let's say, Ahadrinu is return the animals. In other words, they take these animals that they stole and throw them back over the fence into their corral. You do have to worry. In such a case, the thief caught a fit of fright and just wanted to get rid of the stolen goods, so he just took the animals and threw them back in. In that case, he's not interested in how the animal falls. He doesn't design the fall so that the animal is stays in good shape, and therefore, in upon returning them, one does have to choshesh for risuke vorem. V'hani mili d'adrinu machmas yira. This is true if his return of the animals was done out of fright, as we just described. Avol machmas tshuva. Let's say this thief is interested in doing penitence for his act of thievery. And when it comes to theft, the way to do penitence is by returning the stolen good. In this case, we have the stolen animals, so he wants to return them to as a form of doing tshuva, of penitence. If that's the case, so he threw the animals back over the fence in an attempt to accomplish tshuva. So tshuva malyasa hudavdi. You can rest assured that he would want to do a complete tshuva. And a complete tshuva means that just like you stole healthy animals, you have to restore, you have to return healthy animals. And in order to do that, you would have to position the way it falls. And just like we saw before, that there is a type of throw that if it lands on its mosnayim, it does not become a risuk evorim. So too, even if he's returning the animal, but he's doing it out of a sense of doing tshuva, penitence, he would also do a positive type of animal throw. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, hika al rosha v'holcha la klape znova. Alternatively, al znova v'holcha la klape rosha. A person let's say, took a stick and started and swiped the animal and hit the animal from its head to tail, or from its tail to its head. In other words, along the entire length of the animal. So we have what have we described? A hitting of an animal with a stick along its back. Now, the Gemara qualifies this. Two possibilities. Aleph, keneged kol hashedra kula, ein choshishin mishum risuke evarim. If the stick ran along the entire spine, then you don't have to worry about risuke evarim. The spine would be capable of absorbing the blow without causing any like a shock absorber, will say, and that all the shock was absorbed into the spine and not affecting the rest of the organs. However, the isholem chutra apalgi de gabo, if the length of the stick matched or correspond only to half of the animal, so as that stick came down and hit the animal's back, you can imagine the tip of the stick at that very point. There was a great deal of impact. There wasn't anything to diffuse the force of the blow. And therefore, chayshinon, we will have to worry about risuk evorim. V'i is be kitri. If this stick that was used to hit the animal happens to have kitri, kitri could be translated as knots on it. Wooden branches often have knots on them. Or if it's a stick that was part of a tree branch, the kitri would be the parts of that stick that other branches were growing forth from it. They're not there now, but that's the kitri, the knots. So that it's not a smooth stick that's being used to hit the animal. It has these protrusions on it. So if an animal receives a blow from a stick that has knots on it, chayshinon, then that is reason to be choshesh for a problem. We'll call it an even diffused blow, but the part of the stick that had these knots on it, when that at that point of impact, that could have caused a problem of trefus. V'i moche apaske chayshinon. Likewise, if a person took a stick and hit the animal not parallel along its spine, but simply he hit the animal across its back, perpendicular to the animal's position. That is something to be choshesh for. In other words, to be choshesh for a problem with a blow like that. Once again, it's a blow that was not of an evenly distributed nature, but rather went right down, right across its back, perpendicular to his back. That would cause a problem. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a triangle form. The nosei that we have associated with this section of Gemara is entitled Ein Beleido Mishum Risuk Evarim. In the course of birth, even though the animal in birth comes through a narrow passageway and there's a great deal of pressure that's exerted on the animal, nevertheless, the Beis Harechem, as it's called in Gemara, does not create Risuk Evarim. As we notice in the Gemara, we'll notice triangles. These are explained under the Mivneh heading, Memos Shel Rav Nachman Be'inyan Risuk Evarim. These are comments of Rav Nachman concerning Risuk Evarim. So we have a triangle here, and on Omid Beis, we will notice another triangle close to the upper part of the page. Omar Rav Nachman, Beis Horechem, Ein Bo Mishum Risuk Evarim. The birth of an animal coming through a narrow birth canal does not cause risuk evarim. Omale Rova L'Rav Nachman Tanya de Masaya Loch. In the course of this sukya, we'll see the use of a double underline, and this is explained under our mivneh heading. These are Makoros Shemarim L'Chaora de Ein Beleida Mishum Risuk Evarim. These are sources that will attempt to show that through birth there is no risuk evarim, even though the animal goes through a traumatic experience, a shocking experience, if you will, pun intended, through its emergence through a narrow birth passage. So the Tanaic source that supports Rav Nachman's contention that Beis Arachem ain bo mishum risuke for. Beis Arachem is the birth reference to the birth canal, does not cause risuke for him. Says Rava to Rav Nachman, Tanya de Maseiloch. There's a Tanaic source that supports you. In the course of the Gemara, though, we will notice that this support is rejected or is dismissed, but there is this attempt anyway. It says, Tinok ben Yom Echad, a one-day-old baby boy. Metama beziva. It is capable of, if it has a ziva emission, this is a type of fluid that comes forth from males, and it creates tuma, creates a certain high level of tuma. This source is telling us that a one-day-old child, male child, can, if he has this type of emission, can create tumas ziva. The isalka daitoch yeshbo mishum risuke varam. If one were to think that the birth process results in risuke varam, then this child should not become a ziva. Ikri kan, you would refer to this mibesoro velo machmas onso. The pasuk says ki yazuv zav mibesoro. When the ziva comes from its very being, from its flesh, and not as a result of outside extenuating circumstances. That's what's called onso, outside extenuating circumstances. So if Leda did create Risuke Varim, then there would be no Tumas Ziva, because Tumas Ziva happens only if there's no external cause that would have been responsible for this emission. There may be a physical emission, but in the context of Tumas Ziva, it's not just the emission that that establishes status, but rather it's the cause of emission that is of importance for us. And that if there is some other or extraneous cause of the emission, he will not become a ziva. So how is it that we can say with certainty that a tinok ben yom echad, a one-day-old baby, is capable of becoming a zav? That's because the birth process does not cause risuke varim. At this point, though, the Gemara rejects this conclusion and says, Hocha b'mayaskinon, the case featuring the one-day-old child, Kagon Shiyotzu Derech Doifen. We're talking about a cesarean birth. It didn't go through the trauma of a narrow birth passage. It came through an operation that's called a C-section, cesarean birth, where the child is taken out from the mother's womb without subjecting the child to the pressure and shock, if you will, of the birth canal. From this point, then, we could go back and say that if a child would go through a birth process, as far as the inference that one could draw now, we would say that it would cause risuk evorim. And only because it's a C-section delivery is there, yes, ziva. Had there been a regular birth, there would be no ziva, and that's because the leda does cause risuk evorim. So we go on in Gemara trying to find something conclusive on this topic. Toshma, Egel Shenolad Biyomtov, Shochtin Oso Biyomtov. A calf that's born on Yom Tov, one is allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov. Now the fact that it's born and you're allowed to shecht it the very day that it's born, just parenthetically, Shechita is something that is allowed to be done on Yom Tov. As is known, Yom Tov is permissible with regard to Ochel Nefesh. Melachos of Ochel Nefesh are permissible on Yom Tov as opposed to Shabbos. So the fact that this animal that was born on Yom Tov, you can shecht it on Yom Tov, it shows us that it did not go through Risuk Evarim, didn't experience Risuk Evarim. Had it experienced Risuk Evarim, you would not be allowed to shecht it that day. You would have to have it, you would have to wait 24 hours before you can use it, before it would leave the chashash of it having experienced Risuk Evarim. So the fact that after a birth, that very same day, that Yom Tov day, you're allowed to shecht it, it shows us that we're not worried that it experienced Risuk Evorim, indicating, like Rav Nachman said, that birth does not cause Risuk Evorim. The Gemara rejects this as well. Hochi Nami, Kegoin Shiyotza Derech Dofen. The case featured here of the calf birth on Yom Tov, it was a cesarean delivery. And hence, there is no reason to consider Risuk Evorim. Toshma. We have another attempt to back up Rav Nachman, and that's why we have this additional double underline. And we also have a long point marking to show us how long this point lasts, but it too will experience eventually a rejection. Toshma, Vishovin, Shem Nolad Hu Umumo Imo. Vishovin is a word indicating there is agreement. There had been a controversy in Maseches Beitza concerning a related case, but as far as what we're going to see now, there is no controversy, and that's why the term Vishovin appears. Vishovin Shem Nolad Hu Umumo Imo Sheze Min Hamuchan. That if you have a firstborn male animal that's born on Yom Tov together with a blemish, then you are allowed to shecht it, and you don't have to concern yourself with a problem of muktze. Muktze is a situation that arises when, let us say, you had a firstborn animal that prior to the entrance of Yom Tov, it was blemish-free. As such, it was not, you could not shecht it. It was something that had a kochim status, a sacrificial status, and even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, if it's blemish-free, you cannot shecht this animal. And if in the course of Yom Tov a blemish developed, you still would not be allowed to shecht the animal, because when Yom Tov came in, it wasn't suitable for shechting. Therefore, even though later in the day it becomes suitable, it's called muktze. However, if the animal is born on Yom Tov together with a mum, so it at no time experienced its, we'll call its formal sacrificial or kochim status, and therefore it's considered non-muktze. It's muhan. Muhan means it's prepared or it's allowed. Now, this source also tells us that the fact that the blemish is there, that enables you to shecht it and use it for your own purposes. As we mentioned, it doesn't have a sacrificial bechor status. V'chi tema. Now, before going on, why are we quoting this source? We're trying to show that the birth itself does not cause risuk evorim by virtue of the fact that you're able to shecht it on Yom Tov and eat it. Had it been risuk, had it been classified as risuk evorim, you would have to wait a full 24 hours, and you wouldn't. An animal that's born on Yom Tov, you would not be able to shecht it on Yom Tov. Now, v'chitema hochinami shiyotzu derech tov, and if you try to use the same type of dismissal as we have done till now, that this was a cesarean birth. Well, derech doifen mi kadosh, if it had been a cesarean birth, so would it have been able to become classified as a holy bechor? No. The law of firstborn being kadosh is only if it's born through natural, through a natural birth. A C-section delivery would not have... it would not have been classified as a bechor in the first place. But we see in this source that thanks to the mum, it is able to be shechted. That shows us that we're dealing with something that otherwise would have been a bechor. That shows us that we're not talking about a dofen delivery, a C-section. The Gemara elaborates on this. Let's read this again. Derech doifen mi kadosh. Had it been a C-section, would it have even had a chance of becoming a bechor? V'ha'omer Rabbi Yochanan, moidoy Reb Shimon, linyan kochim, she'eino kadosh. Rabbi Shimon, who, regarding other areas of halacha, says a C-section is considered a regular halachic birth, not with regard to Kodshim, the topic of Bechor, sacrifices. Rabbi Shimon agrees that it would not have become Kadosh. But we see over here that we are dealing with a Bechor by virtue of the fact that we're interested in the Mum. The Mum is enabling it to be allowed to be eaten. So it shows us that we're not dealing with a C-section. Well, if we're not dealing with a C-section, and it went through a birth on Yom Tov, and it's able to be eaten after its birth, that shows us, then, that there is no Risuke Vorim in the course of the birth. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to use it that very day. The Gemara, though, rejects this. Hocha b'mayaskinon, the case here of the natural birth that you're allowed to eat is because shehifris al gabi karka. The animal, after it was born, it scampered onto its feet, where it attempted to stand up. If you see an animal that attempts to stand up, then it does not require the 24-hour waiting period. That, we'll say, is in lieu of waiting. However, if you have an animal that was born and wasn't mafris al gabi karka, then, according to what we're saying now, we could infer there is a chashash of risuk evorim, and you would have to wait the 24 hours. So that as a result of this point in the Gemara, we don't necessarily see from here a support to Rav Nachman that said that every natural birth does not result in risuk evorim. Could be that it does, and only because it was hifris al gabi karka are we saying that you don't have to concern yourself. The Omar Rav Nachman. Now another point of Rav Nachman in the topic of risuk evorim. Before going on, let's take advantage of our nosei, our topic heading in the outside margin. We've written here Beis HaMitbuchayim. That is a slaughterhouse, a place where we slaughter animals. Before animals are shechted, they're cast downwards, they're cast groundwards. So that groundward throwing, if you will, we have written here, Ein bo mishum risuk evorim. That does not cause risuk evorim. So even though you have a situation of an animal being cast down to the ground, that is not the same thing, and we'll see later why, that's not viewed as the same thing as an animal, let us say, falling inadvertently off a roof. Now, the Gemara. The Omer of Nachman. Beis HaMitbuchayim ein bo mishum risuke evarim. As we mentioned, Beis HaMitbuchayim is the slaughtering site, and we're referring specifically to the casting it to the ground. Hahu tura denofal. There was a case of an ox that fell. V'ishtama kol geni chusei, and its groaning sounds were heard. Earl Rav Yitzchok bar Shmuel bar Marta. Rav Yitzchok entered. Earl is it means he entered. Shokal mishufri shufri, and he took from the best cut of meat. We should have mentioned that this case of the shor, the ox that fell, it's a reference to the falling of the base HaMitbuchayim. It's our case of the casting of the animal to the floor. Amri le Rabbonon mino locha. The Rabbonon said to Rav Yitzchok, how do you know that in casting an animal to the floor prior to its shechita does not cause risuk evorim? Omar le, so Rav Yitzchok answered, Hachi Omar Rav. Thusly Rav explained, Tziponov noetz ad shemagia l'oretz. As the animal is being cast to the ground, it wedges its hooves. Tziponov, its hooves into the ground, which serves as a counter force to its being thrown downward, so that its fall is cushioned or softened, if you will, by virtue of its exerting this counter force. So it wedges its hooves into the ground until it reaches the ground, so that even though the slaughterer will topple the animal downwards, it's not a free fall, which other, which would cause the free fall, would cause risuke. Remember, this is not a free fall. As the Gemara goes on, we make reference to the case of the mission of Nofla min Hagag. On the outside margin under our Nosei heading, we've written Protim Shonim, details, various details, Hakshurim Lohodikotoni, that are related to that which was taught in the mission of Nofla min Hagag. Mosai Tzrichim Bediko, Mosai Lo, when is it necessary to do a checking, an organ checking, or we'll see other kinds of checkings, and when not. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Once again, going on the case of an animal having fallen off a roof. Omda, Eino, Sricha, Me'es, Le'es. If the animal stands up, it does not require to be left for 24 hours. Bedika vadai bayo. However, when you shech this animal that fell off a roof, after its fall, it stood up, it needs an internal checking. And Rashi points out, you have to check the spinal cord, the ribs, that they weren't broken, and you have to check for dislocated discs. Rashi points out that if you have an animal that fell off a roof that did not stand up and you did not wait 24 hours and you check and you find no problem, it still is going to be viewed as a trefa. And that's what we referred to before as risuk evorim. They call it organ shock. That itself is a problem, so that no checking is going to help. However, as we just said, if the animal demonstrates some, we'll call, life force, namely its ability to stand up, that alleviates the chashash of simple organ shock. However, it doesn't alleviate the need for doing a checking. Now, there's another case, holcha. The animal that fell off the roof, not only does it stand up, but it walks. If it does that, eino tzricha bedika, then it doesn't require the checking that we just described. Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi Omar, achas zu v'achas zu tzricha bedika. He is more stringent and says that even the case of holcha, where the animal walks, it does need a checking. A checking of the spinal cord, dislocated discs, broken ribs. Omar Rav Yirmi bar Acha, Omar Rav. Poshto yodo la'amod. When we speak about the need of an animal to stand up, he is qualifying it and says it doesn't have to actually stand up, but it, as long as it extends its leg in order to stand up, that is the equivalent of standing up. Likewise, okro raglo lelech, let's say of an animal that stood up but it didn't walk. He tells us that if the animal picked its leg up in order to walk, it started a walking motion, even though it didn't actually move out of place, but it attempted to walk, that is sufficient. That would accomplish walking, what walking accomplished. We saw before that there would be no need for an internal checking afterwards. V'Rav Chisda Omar, ni'ara la'amoid, afopi shelo amda. This is and the animal is attempting. You can see the animal is straining to stand up. And Rashi adds here, even if it didn't stick out its leg, but it tightened itself up in order to stand, that is sufficient. That accomplishes what Omda would accomplish. Omar Amemar. Skipping the parentheses section, Omar Amemar, Mishmei de Rav, Dimi Minahar Da'a. Nefula She'omru, Sricha Bedika Keneged Benei Me'ayim. The case of Nefula, an animal having fallen, requires a checking, opposite, internal checking, Keneged Benei Me'ayim. Rashi adds to this, Shemo Nikra Roiv Hachitzona O Nikfu Hadakin. What we're worried about is as a result of the fall, so maybe some of the meat that lines the area next to the animal's stomach. That's the what's called the rov hachitzona, a topic that we've discussed in previous shiurim, that maybe it got ripped, or possibly its intestines developed a puncture, all as a result of it being a nefula, fallen. So therefore, those things need to be checked. Omar le Mar Zutra, the Gemara continues, Mar Zutra says, Hochi amrina mishmei d'Rav Papa, tzricha bedika, keneged beis hachalal kulo. An animal that fell needs to be checked opposite all of its interior. That's kol hachalal, all of the animal's body cavity. And what Rashi adds to this, he says, there, what one has to concern himself with is, it seems in addition to what was mentioned, one has to concern himself with the possibility of rov, of the majority of ribs being broken or dislocated spinal discs. Omale huna mor bar bre derav nechemya leravashi. Simonim mai. Simonim is a reference to neck organs. As a result of the animal having fallen, do we have to check the neck organs that maybe they were dislocated? Omale simonim kushin hein etzel nefila. He answers and says that the neck organs are resilient to being damaged in the context of a fall, so they don't need to be checked. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. This piece of Gemara is the beginning of a somewhat new topic. We're within the general heading of Risuk Evarim, but as our Nosei topic heading indicates on the outside margin, and let us read what we've written. Chavotas oif al gabi dvorim shonim, the impact of a bird on different materials. Lifomim yesh baze mishum Risuk Evarim, lifomim ein. In some cases there is Risuk Evarim, and in some cases not. This Gemara, which will continue to the top of Nun Beis, has a very extensive list of different cases, many cases, some involving, some resulting in a Risuk Evarim suspicion, and some not. So as we go along, we'll notice each one of the cases, and we have to just keep track of which case is a problem of Risuk and which one is not. Omer of Yudam Shmuel, Oif Shenechbat al Pene Hamayim. A bird that was, let's say, thrown onto the surface of water. Kevon Sheshot Maloi Komoso Dayo. If the bird is capable of swimming its own body length, that is enough to alleviate the suspicion of Risuk Evarim. Veloi Amoran Elo Mimato Lamalo. That its ability to swim is considered a good test only if it's swimming against swim upstream. Mimato Lamalo means upstream. Avol Milamalo Lamato, if you notice the bird is swimming downstream, that doesn't indicate that the bird has enough, we'll say, life breath in it or strength in it to discount Risuk Evarim. Mayahu de Ashbalo. It's simply the force of the downstream force of the water that's enabling the bird to go downstream, not its own swimming abilities. The E Maya Kaimi less lawn ball. If it's stagnant water and the bird swims its body length, then that is sufficient. The E Shoda Tsivi, the Kadme, if you have a flowing water and the bird is moving downstream together with the flowing water. However, in the stream there's wood, tsivi, or twigs, wood, branches that are cast into the water. And you notice that the bird is out swimming the floating wood. So the Gemara says, well, hokadme. So you can see that the bird has enough strength to outstrip the wood, and hence that would be a sign that it's not Risuk Evarim. Glima, a garment. Glima is a type of garment. fabric, masiach, if it's drawn tautly. In other words, imagine a trampoline or you have four pegs, and stretched over the four pegs is a piece of material. So if it's masiach, taut, chayshinon, a bird that's cast onto that, we would have to concern ourselves with a possibility of risuk evarim because of the shock that it would have to have, that the bird would absorb, hitting this hard, relatively hard surface. The lo masiach, if the material is not drawn tautly, then lo chayshinon, the flexibility in the fabric itself would help to absorb the blow of the bird landing on it. Oif uma oifeif, this is a tricky expression. It has nothing to do with a bird, but oif uma oifeif means the there's another girsus is ayif meaf, that's you can see on the outside margin, the printer's alternative girsa. That means the fabric is folded over. Lo chayshinon, we're not going to worry about risuk evarim, and the main point is, even if it's drawn taut, but if you have a doubled piece of fabric, though it may be drawn taut, nevertheless, the fact that the fabric is doubled, that will enable the blow to be absorbed and alleviate any doubt of risuk evarim. Isla umikrivi kitri. Isla is a net. Mikrovi kitri means that it has knots in it that are very close to one another. Many times you can see fishermen's nets are made of ropes that are tied together. So we're describing some type of netting that has numerous knots in it, very close, densely knotted, we'll say, with many knots close to one another. A bird that is cast onto this, this is reason for chosh, for chashash, for suspicion of risuk evorim. We're afraid that the knots may have injured, the impact of the bird onto these knots may have injured it, causing this doubt or suspicion. Lo mikrovi kitri, if it's netting but there aren't numerous knots in it, then lo chayshinon, the mere fall onto netting would not result in risuk evorim. Kisna de Ovid Bituni. Kisna is a flax plant, so they're a reed type plant. The Ovid Bituni that are packaged into bundles, that are bundled. Chayshinon. A bird that's cast onto that, it's a hard fall. It absorbs impact, and that will result in a chashash, a suspicion of risuk evarim. That's if it lands on the top of the bundle. However, the high gisa u the high gisa, if the bird, let us say, is thrown toward a pile of flax, but it lands on the side of the pile, lo chayshinon. We are not worried because that kind of fall is sort of like we can describe it as it slips off the side. It's not a direct direct impact, but it's a softened blow. Asuraisa, these are bundles of reeds. So if a bird is thrown onto a bundle of reeds, chayshinon. Kisna we mentioned before was flax. Here we're not talking about bundles, but rather it's kisna dedayik v'nofitz lo chayshinon. You have flax that have been crushed and also shaken out so that the hard debris that is part of crushed flax is not there. So therefore, if a bird is let's say thrown onto a pile of crushed flax that have been shaken out, lo chayshinon. Dayek velonof, it's if they've been crushed but not been shaken out, so you have hard debris that is part of the flax plant that's still there, chayshinon. That causes us to concern ourselves with the chashash of risuk evarim. The Ovid Bizri is our bundles. Kevon de Iko be Kitri chayshinon. If you have flat bundles of flax, and Rashi adds over here, because we did mention the before, a couple lines up, Kisna David Betuni, bundles of flax. Here, there's an additional point. You have bundles of flax, even if these bundles are bundles of flax that have been crushed and combed shaken out. Nevertheless, the bundles themselves have knots in them, so that the knots in these bundles would cause risuk evorim. Daksa chayshinon. Rashi explains daksa, five lines from the bottom. Neuris shivrei givoylim hanin orin mina pishtin kishemenapsim oso. This is the debris that flies away from flax plants as they're shaken. So this is the daksa. That is a hard substance. So if a bird fell on that, that would cause a suspicion of risuk evorim. Dak dekasa lo chayshinon. Rashi explains this is a very fine type of debris, and therefore its fineness is something that would cause a fall onto it to be softened. Navra chayshinon. Navra is something that is a type of netting work that naturally grows on the inside of palm bark. This type of netting or screen-like growth was dried out and eventually cut into strips, and people they would make ropes from this material. As long as it hasn't been formed into strips, it is quite hard, and that's what's described here, the navra chayshinon. If a bird were, let's say, to fall or to be thrown onto navra, we would be choshesh for risuk evorim. Timchisa lo chayshinon. Timchisa is just what we described, the palm screen-like growth, after, though, it was cut into strips. After it was cut into strips, so we would not be choshesh. Kitma. Kitma is ash. Nihila chayshinon. If the ash has been sifted, if you have sifted ash, what happens is compress it, and it becomes compressed and compacted, and as a result of that, it becomes hard, and therefore this compacted, compressed ash is hard, and a bird thrown onto that would experience risuk. Lo nihila, if the ash has not been compacted yet, it hasn't been sifted and compacted, so loi chayshinon, then we're not worried. It would be a softened type of blow. Chol hadak, at the top of Nun Beis, chol hadak, loi chayshinon. Chol hagas chayshinon. Chol hadak is fine dirt or sand that is... it doesn't become compacted, and therefore we're not choshesh. However, chol hagas, Rashi points out, chol hagas avonim gedolos sheboi, when you have dirt, that's the clumpy dirt, there are stones or pebbles in there, and that is of course a very hard substance, and a bird falling onto that or thrown onto that would cause a chashash, a suspicion of risuk evorim. Avak durochim chayshinon. This is dust that accumulates on the roads. That is something that can become compacted, and hence choshesh for risuk. Tivna. Tivna is straw. The ovid bezaga chayshinon. Bundles of straw are hard, and that causes a chashash of risuk evorim. Lo ovid bezaga, if it's just a pile of straw not formed into bundles, lo chayshinon. Chiti v'chol de minayu chayshinon. Chiti is wheat and related grains. A related grain to wheat is shifon. It's considered hard, and we would choshesh for risuk if a bird fell on a pile of wheat. Sairi barley, v'chol deminayu, and related grains, that are, the grains related to barley. Now here we have two girsos. Our regular girsa says chayshinon, but from the Maram Shif, he says, he adds lo chayshinon, quite the opposite, that it's considered a softer substance and would not result in risuk if a bird fell onto it. Kol mine kitnios ein behem mishum risuke varam labar min rubia. Kitnios is a reference to legumes. So all different types of legumes would not result in risuke varam except for rubia. Rubia is the name of a type of legume. Rashi says tilson. Sometimes it's translated as fenugreek. But for our purposes, the translation is not of central significance. It's all that we have to note is that it is a type of vegetation that would result in a hard impact if a bird landed on it. Chimtzi, ein bo mishum risuk evorim. Chimtzi is translated as some type of pea. They slip away from one another and therefore they don't become impacted, and the second a bird lands on it, they would start to spread out, thereby the absorbing the blow or softening the blow for the bird. Chiftzi yesh bo mishum risuk evarim. Chiftzi, Rashi uses a French word that is translated sometimes as chickpeas. Chickpeas are not round like peas, and therefore they don't slip away from each other when something impacts them, and therefore it would result in risuk evarim. Klola de milsa, a general rule. Kol midi de mashrik, ein bo mishum risuk evarim. Substances that slip away from one another, as we just described with, let's say, a pile of peas, as soon as something lands on it, the peas would start to slip away from one another. There would be no risuk evarim under such circumstances. However, lo mashrik, those kinds of things that don't slip away from one another, yesh bo mishum risuk evarim. Since the impact is not lessened by the spreading of the substance, the impact remains a hard fall without something else absorbing the shock other than the bird itself, and that therefore it does result in risuk evarim. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.